Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Praise the Lord. So, church, I just want to encourage you this morning. I know that people have been experiencing some challenges, and that's what the word is on today. We're going to be looking at faith. We're going to be looking at our angle of faith. The name of the sermon is Smoke and Mirrors. It's not a cigarette commercial, but you'll understand it when we get into it. But before I start, I do want to call up a testimony. Brother Emmanuel and Sister Stella, they have a powerful testimony. I'm not going to get into it. I'm going to allow them to give it personally themselves. I want you to just give them a round of put your hands together for them. I just want to start with this testimony, and then we will get into the word. So, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. We serve a miracle working God. I don't know if you believe in what I'm saying. God's just moved in a mighty way. Lately, I've been praying. He laid on my heart to pray for all the couples and the sisters and the brothers who have not had children yet. So I've been praying, I've been putting things on my heart, fibroid, whatever it is, a stumbling block. Then Thursday I became unwell and I was having sharp pains just at the top of my stomach, and I was doing it on my own way. I said, okay, I went to work, I was doing all I have to do, but around 1 o'clock I couldn't stand the pain any longer, so I went straight to A&E. And once I got there, with the realized that no, at the top of my stomach, there was a lump protruding, and that was the pain. So they just whisked me to the ultrasound to find out what was happening. Then whilst we were checking everything, they said, oh my God, Stella, there's fibroid there. You got life there. So they turned the screen. They said, look, I could see the developing fetus, heart's beating. Then I've got this protruding hernia there. They said, Lord, we're going to take you to theater. This is the paramount to any other stuff. And I was crying. Usually I will endure pain. But this time, I was just crying. I kept phoning my work. And so we go into the four surgeons came around. They look at everything. They ask the nurse, I need a marker. They got them a marker. They mark my stomach. And then I asked the question, what's going to happen to the developing fetus with all this anesthetic? And says, Stella, I'm afraid it's going to affect the developing child. I said, and I shook my head and I said, I don't think so. Then they look at each other and we give you 24 hours. If it doesn't stop, we just have to take you in. Then I said, okay, I agree to that. Then I said, Lord, 24 hours is more than necessary for you to turn it around. And I was crying, and I was crying, and I said, God, why at this time? I'll be 40 next month. And he said, Stella, I am the God of the 20s. I am the God of the 30s. I am the God of the 40s. I am the God of the 50s. And he asked me, do you remember that I was the God of the 90s to Sarah? Oh, it's so easy. I know I've not arrived yet, but it's so easy for me to say, yes, Lord. But this time I knew I've not surrendered yet. So I begin to surrender, and I said, Lord, why all these chaos? Why fibroid and so forth? And he said, do you remember the story of Jesus, when Jesus was born? Do you remember the chaos and the stuff around it? But was Jesus born? I said, yes, he was. He grew? I said, yes. He completed the assignment. I said, yes, Lord. Then I surrendered. And I was crying. And then I fell asleep. Around 6 o'clock, I woke up. And I checked. Oh, it's gone. I kept checking. I kept pressing my stomach. I didn't feel any hernia any longer. It was then I told myself I'm going to be awake to join Jemima and Toy. And when they are praying in the night, the last time I saw the time, it was 10 past 10 at night. But somehow I fell asleep. What I realized was I was praying fervently in a dream. I overcome by the fire of the Holy Ghost. I said it so loud to the extent that they heard it. The nurses heard it. So I suddenly woke up, and there was somebody saying, "Fire! We need to check the patient." I knew it was me, and I stayed still in my bed because I didn't want to explain to them what was going on. So I stayed still in my bed, and in the morning I missed the prayer anyway. To me, I missed the time, but. And I saw the time, it was 9 o'clock. I've got 1.5 hours to be whisked to the theater. And I became nervous. I don't know why I became nervous. And I started saying, "Please, Lord." And the Holy Spirit reminded me, "You don't have to say please. You do not have to say please. Stella, the prayers of the brethren has gone up now. Now what do you think, which knee do you think has not bowed?" I said, "Lord, really? Okay. Oh, yes, the knee of hernia, the knee of the operation itself, the knee of fibroid. Now, at the name of Jesus, I need you to bow now. I'm not going to be taken in the knowing well that this life will not leave." Then I paused and I overheard the woman three from my bed saying, the surgeons told them, "We're not going to take you. We'll give you antibiotics, so your surgery is canceled." We had about six of us to go. Then it was my turn. I said, "Father, this is the time." Then the surgeon, they came around. They were talking, "This is the lady we have to just take in straight away." Then the lead surgeon said, "No, let's review everything ourselves." Okay, so they checked the notes, they read the notes. "Stella, we have to check you." Turn around. They did what they have to do. Said, "No, we can't feel anything. We won't take you in. Go home in a month's time. Have your baby." I jumped out of bed. And I said, "Lord, yes, you are. So I really want to tell you, the Lord have just got me through this. There's nothing that can stop you." Oh, praise God.
So I want to ask you, what is your situation that you think is too hard for God? What is the challenge you're facing? I want to tell you that God has a plan for your life. And you are perfectly in God's will. Just say yes to his plan. And all things will be beautiful. God bless you. Amen.
I think we can make an altar call right there. Praise God. When I heard the testimony, I said I needed to get this testimony up, because it was so in line with what I was preaching up. I just want to take the opportunity just to say, you know, I'm thankful for my senior pastor, Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky, and the leadership for the opportunity to speak this morning. It is an honor. I don't take it lightly. And also, I'm just so thankful for the God that we serve, that our God is so powerful, and he always demonstrates that he's consistently in control. In circumstances that we have that look crazy, our God is right there, and he's able to turn that thing around. When I heard that testimony, the word that stood out to me is things seemed it was going one way, but then all of a sudden something changed. Something changed. And I want to speak to every person in this room today and say, what situation have you got that needs something to change? We all have something that there needs to be some form of a change that will come about. And you know, when you're not saved, it's difficult because there's no guarantee that that change will come. But you see, when you've got Jesus Christ, you see, when you've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in your life, and you hold on to his promises, there comes a time that when the time is right, when God chooses that that moment is so, something will just like that, just change. The season will come into a new season. And God wants to bring you into a new season. And I believe that that's what's taking place for us right now, is a lot of us are feeling the birthing pains of something new. And the reason why I chose this scripture here in John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," is that when you look into this word that's used for word, it's a bit wordy, isn't it? It's a word called logos. And it's an interesting word when you really study and look into it. But it means the utterance of a thought. The utterance of a thought. It's not just talking about the words that are spoken. It's also talking about the thought, the very idea that is behind those words. And it's referring to Genesis 1, when we see that God started the creative process. And the thing that I want to bring to your understanding this morning is that before God even put one word to the heavens and the earth as we know it, he had it all mapped out in his mind. Everything. He saw it all. He passed through the generations. He passed through your beginning to your end. He passed through it all. He saw all the sequences, all the choices, all the decisions you would make. He made provision for you when you had faith. Come on now. He answered your prayer when you prayed. He saw you and formed you. He knew you in your mother's womb. He put things inside of you that would come to pass later on in life. He put certain giftings and skills inside of you that will come to fruition as you start to walk out on that thing that he's called you for. And when he had it all mapped out and that plan was perfect for his purpose, then he said, light be. That's what took place. Then he created the heavens and the earth. Then he started to speak these things into existence. Why am I telling you this morning? It's because I'm reminding you that you're not a mistake. You are not a mistake. And every single circumstance that you're facing that is a challenge, it might have been a surprise to you, but you know what? It wasn't a surprise to him. The challenge that you have tomorrow, he knew it yesterday. It's going to jump up and surprise you like, whoa, crisis mode. But God ain't in no crisis mode. God knew that was going to come. But the key thing is your response. And we've got to look at the response. The Bible says in Isaiah 46, verse 10, that God declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. My counsel will stand. God's counsel will stand. The thing that he had spoken before time concerning your life will stand. God had a plan for your life. You see your life. Your life might have areas that are in line with truth, but there will be some areas that aren't. And I'm talking about people who are following Christ with all their heart. Your life is probably not following out in the perfection that God saw it in his mind before we started creating the heavens and the earth. There's some areas that will be slightly off. But God wants to bring you in line. God wants to bring you in line. You see, Stella was a wonderful testimony because God saw something concerning the child in her womb before time. But then Stella's trying to reason the thing out. Trying to reason it out. And then God just came through and just interrupted her plans and said, excuse me. Excuse me, sister. But did I not plan something for you before time? Did I not have something lined up for your destiny before time? Who told you to reason? Come on now. You see, when we look into the Garden of Eden in Genesis 1:26, God made man in his image. I ain't got much time, so I just got to get into it. The Garden of Eden, it was a wonderful place because man was just walking in the presence of God. They were just in the presence of God, and they had the image of God. That means that they understood the mind of God. That means that what God said concerning them, there was no conflict of opinion in it. What he said concerning them, they accepted it. When God told them who they were, they walked in it. There wasn't an inferiority complex. There wasn't like, oh, I don't think I can do it, Lord. I don't think I'm ready for this, Lord. I don't think I'm able, Lord. There was no I don't think. They was just walking in it. When God said do, they just did it. Because when they looked in the mirror of who they were, they saw it clearly. They saw that they was like a reflection of God himself on earth. And they would just do it. But the interesting thing when you really look into it is there came a time when, we know the story of Adam and Eve, but when the fall came, the eyes of man was open. Said that their eyes opened. And I was looking at this and I was thinking, that's interesting. Their eyes were opened up. When God entered back into the garden, he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I command you that you should not eat? Why did he say, who told you? The reason why he said, who told you, is because the only thing they knew up until that point was what he spoke. They didn't know anything else apart from what God was communicating to their minds. So now that they were saying something contrary, it was like, hold up. This is not my information. This is not what I've said concerning you. Are you catching it now? This is not what I said concerning you. Who told you? Who told you this lie? And I'm telling you this morning that who told you the lie? Who told you that lie concerning parts of your life? God said, no, it wasn't me who told you that. You see, the problem was that God was communicating to the mind of man and they was following the mind and the word of God. But now that their eyes were opened, the flesh came alive. The flesh came alive and now they was working things out, not based on what God was saying, but based on what they could perceive. Everything that came in through the eye gate, everything that came in through the ear gate, this now started to form their reality. And it says that they were fearful. They were scared. You'd be scared if you was getting guidance from God, but then all of a sudden you was cut off from the one who was guiding you, and spiritually you died, and now you was trapped in this body, and all you had was these senses sending you loads of information. Your eyes are open now, and now you got to figure it out for yourself. That's what they were experiencing. And you see, what they did is they negated their responsibility and handed the authority over to Satan, and Satan went about making the most of this situation. He said, okay, now, I'm going to build a kingdom based on the flesh. I'm going to build a kingdom on earth that speaks to your eyes. I'm going to build a kingdom on earth that speaks to your ears. And I'm going to make it so hard for you to ever believe the word of the Spirit. And he went about building it. And we see in Luke 4, verse 6 to 8, it says, then the devil said to him, all authority has... I give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. He took Jesus to a high place and sold him the kingdoms of the earth. What do you think he was building? He was building his kingdom. His kingdom was a sensual kingdom. That's why he likes to use music and media. That's why he likes to use a bit of Facebook advertisement. Come on. Why does he use these things? Because it appeals to your senses. And if the enemy can get you trapped in the sensual realm, if he can get you trapped in what you can see and what you can hear guiding your destiny, then he can keep you in the position that Adam and Eve were in when they first fell in the garden. Lost, bound, full of fear. You see, but God had a plan. God said, you know what I need to do? I need to get my mind back in mankind. And the way that I'm going to get my mind back in mankind is I'm going to put my word back in mankind. You see, people struggle with that whole idea of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being one. But a cube is six squares. Six squares together make a cube. And that cube is one. So if a square can do it, then God can do it. Come on now. So God sent his word, and his word became flesh. And his word paid the price. And his word rose again. And then he breathed his spirit and he said, look, listen, anybody who will receive the words that I have spoken, they will be saved. And in that moment, when you do that, anybody who has done that so far, you become reconnected with the mind of God once again. You receive the image of God that they lost in the garden back into your spirit. But you still have a challenge. The challenge is your eyes are still open. Your eyes are still open. So that means that even though God is speaking to you on the inside, you're being challenged by what you see and what you hear at the same time. You see, the enemy, he tries to make things difficult. We see in Luke 8, 9 to 15, when we see the parable of the sower, we see that it comes at people in the same way all the time. Verse 11, it says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes it away, the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. These are the people who do not even receive salvation. They're so wrapped up and trapped up in what they can see. They're so trapped up in what they can hear that when they hear the word in the first instant, they look at it and say, no, it doesn't make sense to the eyes. They listen to it and say, nah, it doesn't really make sense to the ears. You know what? I'd rather not believe that. They don't even get saved. They're the first bunch, the ones that don't even receive salvation. The word gets sown in their heart and they neglect it because they can't understand it. You see, but the things of God are not understood by the mind. They're spiritually discerned. You discern them in the spirit and you walk by what you receive in your spirit. Because there's a difference between vision and sight. Vision is spiritual sight. And that's what our walk is about. Those who are saved, those who were righteous will live by. That's right, faith. The second one, it says this, but the ones on the rock, those are the ones when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root who believe for a while and in times of temptation to fall away. These were the ones who morally rebel. They hear the word of God. They get saved and receive the spirit of God and the mind of God. But when the temptation comes, come on now, when that sister's walking by and the head's turning, come on now. When that brother's rolling round with his muscles pumping, come on now, and the sister's head's turning. Now they start to negate the word that's in them. They already know that God is giving them a check in the spirit. There's something that's not right. They say, you know what? This is not right, this. You know when you're about to go down a path that you shouldn't go. Every person who's been saved knows when you should not be going down that path. It didn't just happen to you. Come on. It didn't just jump. Sin doesn't just jump up like, whoa, I'm sinned. It doesn't happen like that. You had a check in your spirit. Your spiritual eyes saw. Your spiritual ears heard. And you know that you should have walked away from that thing, but you decided to neglect that thought. You started to neglect what it was you was hearing because what you were seeing with your physical eyes was more appealing to you. What you was hearing with your natural ears was more appealing to you. So you decided to touch that thing you shouldn't have touched. You decided to watch that thing you shouldn't have watched. You decided to go to that place you shouldn't have been going to because it was appealing to your senses. You see, Satan built a word like that. That's what he did. That's why God said, don't be friends with the world. He built it so that you would be trapped up in that way of living. If you're trapped in that way of living, it's going to be hard for you to walk by the spirit. That's what it means to walk by the flesh. Verse 14, it says, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares, the riches, and pleasure of life and bring no fruit to maturity. This is talking about faith. These are the ones who are tested in their faith life. You see, the thing is, you can be saved. You can be pretty morally sound, you know, in terms of direct sin, you don't really get involved in it. But when it comes to having faith for some real, for God to really move in your life, you're challenged with that place of faith. It could be the cares. You've got responsibilities. There's so much responsibilities around you that when God's telling you to step out on that thing, you don't want to step out on that thing. God might be saying, look, listen, I want to raise you up and send you to another country as a missionary. And you're saying, but Lord, how am I going to do it? Look at all these finances. I got the children. I got this and that. The cares are weighing you down. You don't want to move in faith because you can't see beyond your current situation. Living by the flesh. You see, that's fleshed out. That's got nothing to do with the spirit. If you are over-reasoning with the senses, then you're living in the flesh. Because the flesh is the body. And the body is the five senses. So if you're living in the sensual realm, then hello, you're fleshed out. The righteous are supposed to be living by faith. The second one was riches. The Bible talks about riches being very deceitful. So if what you're driving for is riches, some people be working all day, not even trying to find some time for church. Come Wednesday, don't come to prayer. Why? I got work in the morning. I'm doing overtime. Overtime? Wait a minute, so you got time? Do you know what I'm saying? So that means you've got the time, but your time is overtime. Oh. Okay. And you don't want to find yourself in corporate prayer praying for the nations. You don't want to pray for the lost who was busted and disgusted like you used to be. You don't want to pray for the ones who have got clouded dark minds like you was when you couldn't even see straight. But what you want to do, you want to go and do overtime. Come on now. We got to get better at this. Sunday. Excuses one day. One day to get together with the brothers and sisters. One day. Where you are, I haven't seen you for a long time, working. Wait a minute. And I'm not getting at people, don't get me wrong, work is work, and it's good to work. A man and woman should work, let's get that clear. But I'm talking about priorities. That's what I'm talking about. Priorities. Because now the person is more concerned about chasing after riches than they are about the calling of God that is upon their life. That's slipping. You got it the wrong way around. The cares of the world. And the last one was pleasures. Pleasures. Some people are overcomfortable. Let me tell you something. The funny thing about pleasures is this. When you stay in a place that feels pleasurable, if you stay there too long, it doesn't feel pleasurable no more. And then you start praying to God about something new. And God starts trying to change it, but you're too comfortable. God starts to change the situation, but you're still too comfortable. Have you noticed that with challenges, God doesn't remove the challenges? I noticed about the time when he was with the disciples, he said, we're going to the other side. And then they was in the boat and Jesus was chilling. Sleeping in the boat. Why is he sleeping in the boat when the storm is coming? He didn't have to take him on that water that day. Listen, one thing I learned about our God is he is not going to stop storms coming in your life. Storms are supposed to come to shake you up, to shake out that comfortable. Because when you feel the storm in your life, now you're going to feel the power of the rebuke. How are you going to know the power of rebuking the storm until the storm comes? You ain't going to know the power of rebuking until the, come on now. Because God wants to do something to your senses. He's saying, look, listen, stop relying on him, please. Stop relying on what you can see. Stop relying on what you can hear, because I called you to walk by faith, not by sight. So that situation that you're in, I'm not too sure what your personal one is, but everybody's in one, I'll tell you that. The personal situation that you're in, that you're challenged in, do you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to find out what God says concerning it. Find out what he says concerning it. When his mind passed over time, he said something concerning every day of your life. That's why I'm not down with people who just jump up on Facebook daily, chit-chatting to the friends, not spending a moment with the Lord. That's dangerous. That's dangerous, even if you're saved. It's dangerous, and also it's pointless. Because your life, yeah, is not looking anything like God called it to look like. You're not living in truth, you're living in error. Because Satan can just come into your life and start deceiving you at any point in your life, and you don't have any reference point as to what it's supposed to look like. When you receive the truth of God in your spirit, the challenge is this, is that your soul does not understand it. Your intellect and your willpower does not understand the truths of God. Doesn't understand it. Remember the issue of the garden. Well, you're going to feel a bit of that issue when you get saved. Because now you're going to have God speaking some things on the inside of you that don't make sense to your intellect. And that's the inside war. But this is the one where you're called to renew your mind. Renew your mind. As the keyboard returns, you see, first of all, you need to meditate on the word. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. How do you have a substance of things hoped for? You've got to look at your life and see the areas that don't match up with God's word. And then you have to say, I'm going to meditate on the word of God so much that what he says becomes my fact. And my situation becomes the lie. And at that point, you start to get the substance of something living on the inside of you. That's how you walk by faith. You're meditating on that truth, and it's now starting to grip hold of who you are, and your natural senses get put in place. Now they don't dictate how you walk. Now they don't dictate what you say. Because the things that you see, you know, has to change. You start meditating on it. Once your mind comes in line with the word, the second thing that you need to do is you need to start to make confession with your mouth. The mouth is very powerful. When you see Genesis 1, you see God creating everything with his mouth. And God had a plan for the earth. But listen, in Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit was hovering, but the Holy Spirit didn't go to work until God said. You got the Holy Spirit in your life. You got the truth of God, but if you don't say nothing, the Holy Spirit's just chilling. You've got some angels who were on the job seeker's allowance because you won't put them to work. You got to start speaking into some situations. Isaiah 45:11 says, thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of the things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, you command me. You command me. So God is saying, ask me of the things concerning you and the church and your brother and your sister and your situations. Ask me about that. Ask me what I say, not what the situation says. Ask me about that. And then when you know what I'm saying concerning that situation, start to speak that truth. Open your mouth and start to decree that truth. Too many people speak the situation that's in front of their face instead of speaking what God is saying in the spirit. And if you keep speaking what you see in front of your face, that becomes your God. That becomes your limitation. That becomes the furthest you can reach. This ain't about positive thinking, trust me. Positive thinking is pointless, though. What's the point of rolling around with positive thoughts if you don't have the one who can make it happen? But we're not in that situation, church. We're not just rolling around with positive thoughts. Oh, I feel positive. So what? So what, though? Really? But we're rolling around with the one who, when we see it in his word, and we speak it and we believe, we are sure to see it come to pass. And I want to encourage you this morning that whatever your situation is, whatever it is that you're experiencing that doesn't look like the truth of God, and actually, if you have an area of your life that you don't know what God says concerning it, then you need to open your Bible. Stop getting on your phone, having a chat with your mates, thinking that they're going to help you out, because they might give you a bit of wisdom, but listen, the answer's in your word. Open up your Bible and see what he says, because you know God's word is full of faith. God's word's full of faith. In Genesis 1, you see his word not failing, he just says it and then bang, it's done. When God speaks, there isn't a difference between him saying it and it being there. And all he's asking is that you find out what he said concerning your life and you come into agreement with that, and then bang, you got it too. Find out what he said concerning your situations of challenge. What has he said concerning your children? What has he said concerning your marriage? What has he said concerning your business and your workplace? What has he said concerning your ministry? What has he said concerning you? What is he going to do concerning you? Who are you? If these are some of the questions that you've asked, if these are some of the things that you're wondering about, God has the answer. But you've got to come into agreement with his word. If I can just ask you to stand this morning. I know that there's been a lot of challenges going on. A lot of people have been challenged with different things. But listen, God has an answer for you, church. And I'm going to open up the altars. If there's anything that God has spoken to you about this morning, because I know God's been speaking. I know that there's some hearts that have been convicted. I know that some people have heard God say, now's the time to trust and believe me on a whole new level. Just as the worship team began to worship, I just want to invite you to the altar to come and find a place with God. This is not about sight, church. Don't look at the person on your left or your right. Don't let pride hold you back this morning. Be
blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, we have week. Hallelujah. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Hallelujah. We have overcome.
We come to the end of the service this morning. I believe that God is still continuing to minister. So if God is still speaking to you right now, you can still spend a few moments at the altar just as he speaks. But apart from that, you're dismissed. You can go. I'm just going to close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for speaking this morning. Father, I pray that you will seal your word in every heart, Lord God. Father, help us to follow your voice more consistently, Lord God. Speak to us clearly, Lord, and guide us and bring us into that season, Lord God, that you have for us, Lord God. As you straighten out our crooked places, Lord, let us remain in truth. Let us remain in you. To you be the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon. Yeah.